You guys are so wonderful. Are y'all ready for your headliner? Y'all start clapping right now. Give it up for Josh Johnson.
I don't know if y'all saw everything that's happening with Tesla either. That's crazy stuff. Okay, so basically, if you're not aware, Tesla is an electric vehicle that, you know, rewind just a couple of years was not a political statement at all. It was just a car you could buy or not buy. It was just a car on the market that had some stock, and the stock would go up and go down and go up and go down. And then, you know, Elon Musk decides to get involved with politics and gives anywhere from like $250 to I think maybe $270 million to Trump's campaign. And then Trump wins and Elon becomes the president. Elon becomes the president, and people don't really know how to feel because this particular thing hasn't happened before. There's always been like millionaires and billionaires donating to campaigns and stuff like that, but this is the most like infused a person has been in like what's gonna happen, and it's very clear in what is self-serving when it comes to like Elon's actions and everything. And so then, you know, inauguration day comes, and there's all the fanfare of like this new administration is starting. And there are some people who own Teslas already, like they bought theirs in 2022. And they would tell people, hey, I bought mine in 2022. Like, I don't. Just so you know, I got mine in 2022. I didn't know, and I wasn't a part of, and I was trying to get an electric vehicle to help the environment. I didn't know it would be. So, just so you know about me. And then Elon's giving a speech, and then he says, my heart goes out to you. And then he does like a full-on Nazi salute, right? And does it again for clarity. And there is a part of me that genuinely, when someone buys something, especially something expensive, and then something happens with that company, a part of me does feel for them, because there are people who bought their Tesla in 2022. They might have been sitting in their Tesla when they saw Elon do a Nazi salute. Like, and now you sitting here, you gotta lease this car. I don't know if y'all saw, but Trump released the JFK files, or at least is starting to release the JFK files. And yeah, it's a lot. He said there's like 80,000 pages or something. I think they've released like anywhere from like 2,000 to 20,000 already, with more to come and stuff. And I don't know about anybody else, but when it comes to JFK and the conspiracies around his death, those were like some of the first moments that you saw for at least a wide population of Americans, trust in government and its agencies break, a trust that they've never got back since, where like whole government agencies don't have the trust of the people, because up until then, you know, maybe they classified things, maybe they told the public lies or whatever, but they were things that people felt like they could at least get on with life believing. You know, JFK was the first thing for a lot of people that spawned the real like tinfoil hat stuff, what aren't they telling us sort of thing. And so you would see something like this big release of the files, you know, 20,000 with like 60,000 more to come. And it's kind of crazy that everyone sees that and they're like, nah, I'm good. 80,000 pages. I don't think JFK cares that much. That's 80,000 pages. Game of Thrones isn't 80,000 pages. 80,000 pages is insane. What are you doing? You know, it's like the thing is full. It's full. I've read some of it, and it's full of things that are snapshots of the time that JFK was assassinated in, but they aren't things that people were looking for. When people talk about files that they want released, they're talking about things that probably have been destroyed forever, like the some of the autopsy files, some of the coroner's notes, all that stuff like that is not in what's been released. What's been released are the goings-on of, like, Cuba, Mexico City, USSR, and everything. And the one thing that we did find out for sure through the release of the files is that the CIA had a much bigger file and much more knowledge of Lee Harvey Oswald than we previously thought. And they had been tracking his movements and everything. He had been going to these different countries. I'm pretty sure he went to Mexico City for a little bit, and then he went to the USSR. And I don't know if the word is defect, but he basically was trying to leave the U.S., become an expat and join USSR, and even tore up his passport and everything. And the USSR was like, nah. Nah, we good. That's crazy to me. That's someone, you have a CIA file on you, and you're trying to move to the USSR, and they are like, you giving off some bad vibes. Like, I don't know what it is, but you creeping everybody out. Like, you stare too much, dog. Like, you just, what are you looking at when you looking over here? It's unsettling. Just take that somewhere else. And so then he came back somehow. Didn't seem like he had a problem coming back, even though he tore up his passport. And then commits the assassination, and then Jack Ruby kills Lee Harvey Oswald. And there were so many people who thought that Jack Ruby's mob ties meant that he was sort of there to close up loose end, you know, that maybe the mob did it. And even now, there are people that say, oh no, the mob did it, Cuba did it, Soviets did it. I think that when you're going through all these pages and you're reading this stuff that we're learning about how much the CIA and the FBI actually knew and didn't do anything, it doesn't really surprise me. It doesn't do much for me in the way of a revelation. And it's probably just because, you know, because I'm black. You know what I mean? As a black guy, I'm not going to sit here and be like, not the CIA. You mean to tell me the CIA? Next, you're going to be talking about the FBI. Guys, no, no. No, not at all. Because that's the thing. That's what trips me up, too, is all these pages are getting released. There are things that were released during Trump's first administration that were redacted pretty heavily, and then they've been re-released, not redacted, right? Or just one line redacted, so much so that there are people that are actually mad at Trump because they're like, that some of that stuff, some of those people are still alive. What are you doing? You know what I mean? And so then, you know, you'll have like one little line that's redacted, and you'll have someone obsess over that specific line because it's not finding the truth for them. It's about keeping the conspiracy going, you know, because you'll even see they uploaded it to the archives. You can check it out in the archives right now. They uploaded everything they've uploaded so far, in my opinion, they've done pretty badly. I think they just had a scanner and they were like, he said today, so... I know it's crooked. I know it's crooked. I know it's crooked. He said today. I know. Some of, honestly, I looked at some of the files, and some of it, some of the handwriting in some of the notes, whether it's written by a CIA agent or like some politician, some of the notes in there are so bad. Like the handwriting is so bad. I'm like, he did it. Like that's suspicious as hell handwriting. Little thing. Little line will be redacted. Oh, that's what they don't want you to see. That's where all the truth is. It's like, look, maybe. I'm not even saying that's not possible. Maybe. But also, maybe it's just like an address that makes sure that a person who has nothing to do with this doesn't get implicated. You know, there are all types of reasons to redact something. And it's when people put that much weight on the thing to keep the whole thing going that I'm like, you don't want to know. You want to keep guessing, you know? And don't get me wrong, it's fun to guess. I love guessing. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. Sometimes I'm just guessing. You know? Best way I can describe it is I'm a fight fan. So I watch boxing, I watch MMA and stuff like that. And I watch men's fights, I watch women's fights, and I just kind of follow the fighter and follow their journey and enjoy who I enjoy because I like the person. I like their story, right? And there was this young woman. I do not know if she is from Brazil. I think she is because I'm pretty sure she was speaking Portuguese, and she only speaks Portuguese. She doesn't speak English. So after fights, when someone wins, especially if they don't speak the language, they will do the post-fight interview right there. And they might do another press conference later, but they'll do the post-fight interview. And if they do not speak the language, someone will come out, a translator for the promotion will come out. And in this case, her translator was her coach. So she wins the fight, and it's big. It's the biggest fight that she's won of her career. It puts her in the rankings and everything. And so the announcer walks up, and he's like, congratulations on a fantastic fight. Was this win mean to you? It's sort of putting you on the map right now against such a tough opponent. And she speaks for like 8 seconds, and then her coach goes, thank you so much, everybody, for watching my fight. I really appreciate it. I worked really hard. And thank you so much for the love. And then she speaks for another 8 seconds. And the coach is like, everything that I do, I'm doing for y'all at home from my town to show you that no matter what, where you're from, you can make it on the world stage. And then the announcer asks her, what are your future plans? What's next for you? You know, now that you're in the rankings, there's a certain opponent you want to call out. And she speaks even shorter this time for like 6 seconds. And then her coach is like, yeah, the next plans are anybody who wants it. All right. I'm taking heads. I'm taking necks. I want your limbs. Give me your arms. Give me your legs. If I see you on the street, it's already on. You already know. The best thing you could do is drop out of the division right now because I'm coming for all y'all's necks. I'm killing everybody, all right? You're going to dream about me, and then when you wake up, I'm going to be there. That's on God, okay? I'm killing all of y'all. None of y'all can stop me. None of y'all can touch me. What I did to her was a mercy killing. I'm coming to kill y'all for real. I want your bodies, okay? I'm stacking bodies, all right? And the champ, I'm going to beat the champ, and I'm going to beat the brakes off the champ in her hometown. She's going to bleed in front of her people, okay? And then they exited the octagon. They went ahead and left, And then there was a fighter, because, you know, fighters watch other fighters' fights, and they'll live tweet it, and he tweeted right after that whole thing. She ain't say all that. And I'm not gonna lie, that's what those redacted lines feel like to me sometimes, where I'm just like, yeah, look, maybe the whole truth is in the one sentence, but maybe it's in the 80,000 pages that nobody feels like reading. Because, you know, Trump said he was gonna release JFK files and slowly release them over time, I guess. And then there were people that were like, well, why won't you release the Epstein files? The Epstein files are what we want. That's what we're actually focused on. Why won't you release the Epstein files? Is it because you actually knew Epstein? Is it because you might be implicated? Is it because you were on the flight logs? Why won't you release the Epstein files? All right. And then he does release the Epstein files. But what he does is he releases a bunch of files that were already released like last year and then redacts some of them to make them look like they're newly half-redacted files. And then people called it online to me. They were like, no, that's not. This isn't it at all. And then even the people who were like showing it off and like, look at this transparency. Then they got mad because they were like, you made us look like idiots. We thought you were releasing stuff you hadn't released before. And so then people called again. Why aren't you releasing the Epstein files? So if you're Trump, you know, you're probably sitting here. The only thing you can do is release the Epstein files and hope it's 100,000 pages. I mean, who would have known the only distance between people and getting to the truth was reading? You know what I mean? We want to know. We as a people have the right to know. It's 80,000 pages. I'm going to wait till the movie come out. But what are you going to do? You know, Elon's the president. We know he's the president because, first of all, he tell everybody to report to him, sending whole government employees emails, tell me everything you did. It's like, isn't some of that classified? Like, it's wild. You stand in the Oval Office talking about what we're doing. It's like, who is we? Got your son in there. That's how you could tell Trump not the president. Got Elon's son rubbing his boogers on him. I've had a lot of jobs and a lot of bosses. And no boss's child has ever rubbed boogers on me. I will quit before I let your child rub boogers on me. Elon is the face of Tesla. And he's also the face of Doge, this department that's been cutting all these government jobs and gutting a lot of government programs and everything. And I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of people across the political spectrum about Doge, about their actions, and from the time it started to present, right? So some people are like, oh, yeah, it's a little bit much now that we're very much on its side. There are some people that still don't see a problem. There are some people that hated it from the very beginning. But one thing that I have not come across, and I only speak for myself. I'm not talking about any – I can't speak for the entirety of the internet. One thing I've come across is that there is no one who I have come across that says that there's no waste in the government and that they don't want to get to the bottom of what can be saved or what can be put to better use somewhere else. I think that's what – generally, everybody would want. If you pay your taxes and then you see where money's being wasted, it's like, oh, we have so many people who need that money in other departments, just move it over to them or give it back to the people or whatever the thing is. I don't think people inherently are upset about the idea that there's waste in the government. I know people that work in the government, they're like, ah, this is a little waste. And so All of it comes down to what you cut and how you do it. That's it, top to bottom. That's the only thing anybody could really have a problem with, what you cut and how you do it, right? And I'll be vulnerable for a second. I'll admit to you right now, I've worked jobs. I've worked jobs where I was like, I'm not going to tell anybody, but like, they really don't need me. Like, as long as they paying, I'll keep showing up. But, like, and you end up seeing what happens. Because the thing with whether it's voters or whether it's like rhetoric around how to handle this stuff, there are people who even now genuinely believe, oh, let's get a business person. Let's get someone who's good at business in government so they can run the government as efficiently as they run their business, right? And the problem there is that like, let's say Amazon. A good example is, like, let's say Amazon makes a mistake. And they make a mistake that all of us, everyone here, can acknowledge and see as a mistake. And so as a mistake, their stock drops because they lose some of the faith from their shareholders. Now, we see that drop in the stock, and maybe the mistake they make is they announce that all the cars from now on gonna have three wheels. Like, oh, we're gonna save so much money on tires. And we're like, no, you're gonna flip over, okay? And so then you see the stock start to dip because of that lack of confidence. And then for you as a potential investor, even a retail investor, that dip in the stock is an opportunity. You can buy in now. You can buy in to that dip. And then when it goes back up because they realize that four is probably best, that you can ride that wave on up. Fair enough. When you crash out a business, when you make mistakes in business, when you run a poor business, you can always start another business. The people who we even look up to as these beacons of industry were all people at some point who had a failed business, right? But the government is not a business, because if you crash out the government, if you make the same mistakes with the government, you don't have a country. And you can't just be like, no, we're just going to start new America. You know, I used to have, like, a lemonade stand, America, and that one didn't really work out, so I started, like, a tire shop, America, and that still really wasn't it. So then I started this hedge fund, America, and now we're cooking. Yeah. It does not work that way. And you saw what happened. You saw Elon run the government, because he's the president. You saw Elon run the government the way he ran his business. When Elon took over Twitter, right? He comes into Twitter and he immediately starts firing everybody because he's like, you're waste, you're redundant, I don't know what you do, I don't know what that is, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. And then a couple days after he took over, remember that brief period where he was like, how do you turn it on? And then someone who still worked there, who he didn't fire, was like, oh, you fired the dude who turned it on. Yeah, you asked me for a list of people to fire. I'm not going to put my name on the list. And so you end up seeing Elon firing people and then trying to, like, hire them back real quick and trying to, like, smooth over the things that he broke that didn't need breaking, you know? And then Doge ends up working the same way. It ends up swooping in and firing a bunch of people and then trying to hire some of them back real quick. And it's chaos. And Elon is the face of it. He's the face of it because we didn't know who else was working in Doge. We didn't know who was essentially, like, hacking into Social Security, who was going around judges' orders, who was breaking things and going to places they weren't supposed to be because we hadn't figured out how this whole thing was going to work. We didn't know. And then we found out. We found out that it was children. We found out they leaked the photos of those people that were high up in Doge that were getting into Social Security and the IRS and everything. And we were like, what? Fresh out of school, I saw one kid's picture who was like high up in Doge doing all the breaking in and stuff. And I was like, Peter Parker? I cannot believe that Spider-Man gonna cut off my grandma's Social Security. So I don't think anyone's saying, like, there's no waste, but it's what you cut and how you cut it. You know, I think people would have appreciated, like, an actual audit. They said that they did one, but usually when you do an audit and you really account for the waste and you really account for what jobs you do and don't need, you don't have to hire anybody back, you know? the amount of people that they fired and then tried to immediately rehire shows that they're not actually being as careful as they should be with the process. Because I'll tell you right now, everyone that has ever fired me stood firm in their decision. I've never... I've never been fired and then somebody ran out after me. Hold on. That's my bad. I was wild. I was trying to look good in front of the other employees. You come on back in here. That has never happened. Anyone who has ever fired me has never called me again. But then Elon is the face of him. People don't know what to do. They don't know what to do to express their anger and their disappointment, their frustration about this unelected person gutting these government programs. And you see where people, it's not just like a one-sided thing. It's not just like a liberal thing, you know? There are people who are like, I voted for Trump. I believe in what Doge is doing, but then I'm told that I'm being cut because of bad performance, even though I'm holding right here a performance review for like a month before the election where they said that I was doing great, you know? And so then people of across the political spectrum are going to the town halls and they're complaining to the representatives, and the representatives, they're not really hearing them out. They're not really backing them up. So there's even more frustration, and it's bubbling up, and it's bubbling up. And he's the face of two things. He's the face of Doge, and he's the face of Tesla. And so then people go to the Tesla dealership, and he's not there. But people go to the Tesla dealership and they start protesting at the Tesla dealership, and then the stock starts tanking because there are people that are like, being attached to this right now is not a good look, you know? And then people start vandalizing Tesla, start putting swastikas on the Teslas and stuff like that. And then there are people who, you know, bought a Tesla in 2022. They're like, guys, I didn't know. I had no idea. And almost immediately, it felt like almost immediately, Trump came to his defense, right? Trump invited Elon to the White House. I mean, he already got an office there because it's his White House. He the boss. He's the president. But Trump told Elon, hey, bring a bunch of Teslas, park them out front of the White House. We'll do a dealership commercial. This man got in the Tesla. Trump got in the Tesla was like, everything's computer. Which is not wrong. It's not wrong. I remember, my first Tesla experience. You know, I didn't ride in a Tesla for a long time. I heard about it as a car, but I didn't get to be in one, and I don't drive, so I didn't try to test drive one or anything. And my first Tesla that I ever got in was an Uber. And so when I walked up, I didn't know about the door. I didn't know the door be all smooth like that. So this is me. Look, I'm admitting for a second. I'm being vulnerable here. I'm admitting for a second that this is me. This is my bad. I was doing too much in my head. I was doing too much, all right? Know that I know that before I even admit this to you. I was doing too much, right? But when I walked up to the Tesla, I thought my driver sucked the door in because I was black. And I was standing there like, never in all my days have I seen this type of racism. I was fierce. It was all smooth and everything. So finally, driver noticed I'm not getting in the car, so he rolled down the window. I lean over all indignant, like, then he started explaining how to open it. I was like, what do you mean you gotta push to pull? That doesn't even make sense. And then I get it Okay. Got in the Uber, we took off. And this is the thing with gig economy jobs, right? Is that, how do I put this? There's a social contract we have not written yet on like how much this is like your property versus my time versus our experience, right? And so when I get in an Uber, I'm very respectful of the fact that this person's car. This isn't my car, right? I'm not renting it so it can be my car for a little while. And we're sharing this time together, but it is my time that I'm paying for, so that's what makes me the customer, you know? So I try to not make any waves. I get in an Uber, and I'm just like, whatever they need to do. Sometimes there are people who start driving Uber very, very early, so they're tired, and so they got to blast themselves with cold air. They have to have their window down, and I'm like, I'd rather that than us die warm, you know? So I don't say anything. I'm like, I'll just be uncomfortable on the way to the airport because that's what's keeping this man awake, and this is the person that showed up to drive me, right? So I almost never say anything. It's a very big deal for me to even try to say anything. And I go ahead and I do it, though. I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm not like, I usually don't do this or anything. But you know, I leaned over to him and I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. But could you please like touch the wheel? Like... No, I know it's autopilot. I know it says autopilot. You put it in and everything. I just don't know what I'm paying for if we going. Like, if we... Like, I'm not telling you how to drive. I'm telling you to drive. Like, it would be nice if you did drive. Like... Just put a finger up. Make me believe. Just put a finger. And so you see all of these... Attacks on Tesla increasing and the stock price dips and dips and dips. And it goes up a little bit. Every once in a while it goes up because there's some people who don't care about any of this at all and they see it as an opportunity to buy low. And so it'll go up a little bit, maybe like 3-4% here, and then it drops a little bit more and it's down from its high by a lot. And you've even seen people like... in the Trump administration come out and say, hey, if you vandalize a Tesla, we're treating it as domestic terrorism. We're coming for you if you touch a Tesla, right? And it's just baffling because everything that Trump is doing for Elon and everything that his administration is doing for Tesla is exactly what they were supposed to do for the voters. You know what I mean? Like Trump saw that his boy... was having a little dip, was like a little bit more broke than he was the day before. He was like, let me help you out. You know, I mean, that felt like a campaign promise that I thought he made to everybody, but apparently he was just talking to three people. And even going after people who vandalize a Tesla as domestic terrorism. Like, when do we ever talk about domestic terrorism? Yeah, how much domestic terrorism we have? It's a lot. And then you see Elon go on the news, and genuinely he seems like really upset, like genuinely hurt. And I think it's because, you know, look, he's still the richest man in the world, but he used to be the richest man in the world by a larger margin. Like, he has lost... billions and billions and billions of dollars, right? And he's so affected by it. And I think that maybe he's so affected by it because when these things are such a part of your life, they do become your identity. Maybe being the richest man in the world, maybe being seen as this, like, you know, this business guru, the scientific mind, all that stuff crumbles away when the people are not with you, when the people can't stand you, when you've angered them, when they don't want to have anything to do with you, you know? And he sees the destruction, he sees the people turning on him, and he seems genuinely upset. And I don't think his feelings are hurt because some people are mad at him. He's never going to meet these people. I think that when you attach so much of your self-worth to this money and this status, this influence and this power, that even the prospect of losing it can rattle you deep down, right? To your core as a person. And it looks like he's about to cry on the news when he's talking about, I don't know what I did to deserve this. It's like... And look, I'm glad he said that to a camera by himself and not, like, to a veteran's face. Like, he didn't really get that. You know, the dude on Fox was like, you've done nothing to deserve this. You're a true patriot, whatever he said. And, you know, I was sitting here watching Elon get genuinely sad. And I was like, oh... My heart goes out to you.
Mira.